Let me tell you one of my favorite Yuletide stories.
Ales all around! Chin chin!
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Back in My Day podcast, where the not-so-stereotypical millennials celebrate all the things they loved from their past and the present, too. In this episode, we're going back to one of our favorite topics, and that is the MCU, specifically the MCU series on Disney Plus, which, if you are a listener of this show, you know that we've basically reviewed all of the Star Wars, all of the Marvel MCU shows on Disney Plus. And the most recent show that we're going to talk about today is What If Season 2. And my name is Michael R. Power, and I'm joined by...
Ian Walter.
And Mina Power.
Okay, Ian and Mina, we have the MCU Brain Trust back here again to talk about What If Season 2. Some of mine and Ian's favorite episodes to do, I know, is talk about the MCU and talk about Disney Plus shows. So we couldn't miss out on What If Season 2. If you missed it, it was released episodes one day at a time over the holidays on December 22nd to December 30th. Mina and I just recently caught up and finished the whole series. Go back and listen to our chat on season one if you missed it. We really, really enjoyed season one. I think it's a great idea, and it's ripped straight from the comics. Some of mine and Ian's favorite comics when we were kids, and a lot of kids' favorite comics, the What If Marvel series, where they get to kind of like explore crazy, fun, unique things that would never happen in the main continuity, and they've sort of brought that over to the MCU, where in the shows they're allowed to tell stories that, you know, you'd never see in the main MCU continuity, like at least in my opinion, like Marvel zombies and just crazy out there multiverse stories, and, you know, making Doctor Strange full on evil and everything. So season one, I think I speak for all of us when we say we liked it. Some episodes we liked more than others, maybe hit or miss a little bit. I'll start and say season two, I really enjoyed. And I thought it was just left off where season one, picked up where season one left off. The animation's great. The voice acting's great. Some episodes I like more than others. My favorite character, I was talking to Mina about this during the show. Like, I think my favorite character in the MCU is Peggy Carter. So anytime Peggy Carter episode comes up, that's always my favorite.
Yeah, but the series started off with the Peggy Carter episode.
Yeah,
right?
She's almost like the through line of the season, which I really enjoyed. So, okay, Ian, what did you think of the series, and what are a few standout episodes or moments
Just like you said, we loved season one of What If. It's this great concept that we, as comic book fans, love the idea of just being able to. You don't have to stick necessarily that closely to canon. Because you get to do a what if issue, and you can just kind of spiral off into directions that you would not be able to do with the constraints of like a, you know, shared continuity. So What If is great for that. And I thought this one, in a way, like there are some highlights in season one that I still think are really strong, but I think that season one walked so season two could run. I feel like season one showed us, like, you know, this is the MCU, but what if we tweaked one little thing? Whereas this one is really getting deeper into the multiverse, and, you know, it still shares aspects of the MCU, and that, and we love it for that, but it does take bolder swings and goes in, you know, further directions from the MCU than what we're used to. And I like that about it. There's a lot of more sense of adventure. And although there's always sort of a through line in season one and now in season two of the Watcher and what's the overall narrative going to end up with in the finale, I thought that with this one, it really did feel like individual episodes, and there were elements of it that came together towards the end. Whereas they, like in the first one, it was very much about the Guardians of the Multiverse and piecing that together in a similar fashion to how the Avengers were put together in the MCU. So this one just felt a little bit more organic in that sense of, we could just tell the stories we want to tell, and we'll cherry pick the best of those to kind of put together a finale. I thought it was pretty cool the way they pieced it together, and it didn't feel as like maybe formulaic as the first season.
Cool. Yeah.
So yeah, really enjoyed it.
What Any If Season episode... 2 was great. Actually, let's go over to Mina and ask what was her opinion? What was your opinion, Mina, on Season 2 of What If as a whole?
As a whole, I still really liked it. I think collectively, I liked the first season better. It's been a while, so it's hard to remember, but I think like my couple of favorites from the first season still are at the top. Like, I don't think there was an episode this season that knocked them off. But saying that, I still really enjoyed it. It was interesting, like, how much more connected these ones were than the first season. Like, the first season, they really were, like, individual. They felt more like individual stories, whereas this one, you saw a couple of, like, more reoccurring characters popping
the last
up.
Few, for sure. Yeah.
So there were teasers in this one, like, kind of hinting that it was going to end up being together, right? Whereas... I see what you're saying. In the first one, there were individual stories, but what I think maybe it was the marketing of the show in general, mm-hmm. where it was really painting it like they're putting together a team in the first one. And I didn't get that same sense mm-hmm. in season mm-hmm. two. Anyways, continue, Mina. Sorry, I didn't mean to call
you. No, that's okay.
You guys are
the Marvel experts, so.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know what I find interesting about the what ifs is that they took the idea of the what if idea from the comics, but they took the concept only. Whereas, you know, other Marvel movies and shows have sort of adapted, you know, runs of comics or, you know, usually like a run or a graphic novel. Whereas this takes the what if concept, but it doesn't really adapt any of the what if comics
right.
into episodes. So, you know, there's like,
it's almost like it's an adaptation of the MCU in a sense.
Yeah. Right? They just kind of come up with their own idea you've never seen before. So it's not like, you know, what if. What's one from the comics? Like Wolverine fought Hulk or whatever, right? There's tons of what if issues from the comics, and none of the episodes in the show are straight adaptations of any of the comics, as far as I know. Marvel Zombies was based on a comic, but that's not a what if comic, so it doesn't quite count. But yeah, so, and then there's even characters in this season that are not even from the comics, right? There's one character, Kahari, is it? And I was. She's a really cool, Kahori, a cool Mohawk character that appeared in episode 7, I believe, and then again, or episode 6, and then again at the end. And I was searching when the character came up. I was like, I'm not familiar with this character. I know so many comic book MCU character, not MCU, Marvel characters. And so I looked up, it's an original character they created for this What If episode. So not only are they not adapting, you know, what if comics directly, they're creating their own characters and everything, and it'd be interesting to see if that character like Captain Carter did appears in the live action MCU at any time. And that
I know we've mentioned this on the show, but do you remember where Captain Carter made her debut?
No, I don't.
She is a Marvel Puzzle Quest original character.
I know her comic came out and I got the first issue after like the What If. So that's cool. Marvel Puzzle Quest, eh?
Yeah, so you're right. I think Kahori is completely original to What If, and it'd be great to see that kind of spiral into the comics in the kind of cyclical way that they kind of do things sometimes mm-hmm. at Marvel, which is great. And I think that the deal with What If, I don't know if it's always been this way, but I feel like in the modern age of comics, or at least in the 2000s, like, they kind of seem to use these what if stories almost as experiments to see what people would want to read. And then mm-hmm. they try and find a way, if it's successful, to work those ideas into the main 616 right. or canon. Right. So I find that's an interesting thing. And it kind of seems to be in the way that they do the writing of the show, like this similar kind of thing. Like, we're going to see these characters in What If, and then if people like them, we might see them pop up again, like you said. So, interesting idea there. And even with Captain Carter showing up in Multiverse of Madness, it might not be the exact same one, but I think what this show did was, especially with like the Happy Hogan variant, was it showed that you can establish an idea in one universe and then just it's understood with the concept of the multiverse that there will be other universes that play with similar concepts. So I think that was it's an interesting ride for me. And I think what I'll do is I'll briefly mention what all the episodes were, and then we can just cherry pick a couple of our favorites and sure. talk about them. So running through in the order that they were released, we have 9 episodes. So what if Nebula joined the Nova Corps? What if Peter Quill attacked Earth's Mightiest Heroes? What if Happy Hogan saved Christmas?
I love that one.
Like
that.
Die Hard.
Yeah. I'm guessing that one came out around Christmas.
That one was on daily. Christmas Eve, yeah.
Which is great, yeah.
That's yeah,
great.
Real miracle on Bleecker Street there. Mm-hmm. What if Iron Man crashed into the Grandmaster? What if Captain Carter fought the Hydra Stomper? What if Kahori reshaped the world? And what if Hela found the 10 rings? And then what if the Avengers assembled in 1602, which was pretty incredible? And finally, the finale, what if Strange Supreme intervened? So let's start with you, Mina. You were saying you did like the show, maybe not as much as season one. Were there any episodes that stood out to you as like exceptional?
Yeah, so my favorites from this season, I have two that were kind of at the top for me. So the first one was actually the first episode, was the What If Nebula Joined the Nova Corps. I thought this episode was just really fun. I loved the characters that they brought along.
Yes.
Like for this new
Howard
team.
The Duck.
like Howard the Duck. They brought Korg and who is the other?
Groot.
Groot, yeah. And then Nebula. I just thought it was a really fun episode. It's
yeah,
like
you
all
had,
characters.
You had Yon Rogg and the other Kree warrior who becomes like Captain Marvel, right? So, Marvel.
It was just really fun. Like, we're familiar with all the characters, but it was like a fun way to use them again. And Nebula is becoming like a bit more of like a more well-known character with her joining the Guardians. So it was kind of fun for her to like take the lead on this one. So that was one that I really enjoyed. And the other one, Ian, you had mentioned how good it was, but the What If the Avengers Assembled in 1602.
Fantastic,
I just love that they brought sexy Captain America back for this one. so it gets top marks from what Mina Power on that yes. one for bringing that character back for me.
Well, that's a good point because it's a cool moment where we get to see Captain Carter interact with Captain America, right? So that's pretty cool too. Whereas yeah. like in their respective universes, only one of them has powers, right? So, but yeah, no, those are great choices. I also thought I mentioned Mar-Vell, but I was jumping ahead to the 80s Avengers episode Mar-Vell was in. But yeah, I thought Power, you might, Mike, might have enjoyed that first episode too, because it gave me like Blade Runner vibes. The
it
way
did.
They're like
locked
in on Xandar.
Very sci-fi. You know? Yeah.
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 But yeah, what were some of your faves? Like we'll get our faves out there and then we can kind of like talk about a couple of them.
Yeah, so mine was anytime that Captain Carter showed up. So that's probably why I really liked the season, because she was in like 3 episodes, right? And sort of the through line and the connective tissue from the first season was her and obviously Strange Supreme. But I just love what they did with her character, and I love how it's the core of the character and this drama of her character in the story is the same as Steve Rogers in the MCU, but flipped, where it's like, you know, you're focusing on her and it's like her and Steve, it's like their love transcends through the multiverse and through time. They're always finding each other, but then it's always a sort of a tragic ending. They can never stay together. And it's just like telling that story over and over.
Right,
like,
yeah.
They told that same story almost twice. They did tell that same story. Like that was the core of both the Hydra Stomper one and the 1800s Avengers or 1602 Avengers one. So
great point. Yeah.
I love that the way different ways to kind of get that tragic love story of Steve and Peggy in there. And then, but you know, flip it on its head where she's the main character. And we know because of the MCU in the end, like there is a version of their out there in the multiverse of Steve and Peggy that get their happy ending, but it's know, not this Captain Carter version, at least yet. And then the final episode I thought was really, really cool, bringing back a bunch of characters from the first season. Giving Captain Carter all the Infinity Stones was awesome. And then having the, was it Strange Supreme? So they kind of,
yes,
his episode in the first season was my favorite, right? And it's like, it's the Doctor Strange that went crazy and got overwhelmed by his power and his love for Christine or whatever, trying to bring her back, and went so far into the evil magic that he collapsed his whole universe, and then they needed him, so they used him. Kind of thought he'd turn a new leaf, but then, oh no, in this final episode, it's like he went full, he broke fully bad again.
And he Wanda, like what Wanda was to the MCU, he's to this, right?
So, yeah. So he's also a tragic character in his own sense that he's making the same mistake again, right? He's so convinced that he's so powerful, or his own power, his own hubris, that he can, you know, mess with this magic again and bring back his universe. And he's like, that's like the fatal flaw of Doctor Strange. Yeah. He thinks
it's a great one.
I love the sort of stories that got to the core of the character and kind of dug a bit deeper on that. So those were the episodes for me. What about you?
Oh, nice. Yeah, with regards to that Strange one, I feel like, you know, in Multiverse of Madness, what they were calling Sinister Strange is who I kind of found a parallel between him and Strange Supreme, right? Whereas, like, his universe was dying as well, and, you know...
There was a parallel. It almost was the same character, but not quite, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's interesting, and I think that that's what this sort of the overall idea of the multiverse is. Like, you can have universes that are so close and so parallel, but there's just, like, one, you know, few little details here and there that are off. But for me, I felt like they were all very strong, and you guys made great points with your picks. For me, there was one that stood out. Like, the Die Hard one was a lot of fun for Christmas Eve, but there was one that stood out to me that was a callback to season one, and I think it was the missing 10th episode where they said, what if Iron Man crashed into the Grand Master?
Right.
I liked that because, you know, not only is it a slight tweak to the original Avengers movie and he just never makes it back through the portal, but also then taking it to, like, Thor Ragnarok territory, and we get this almost like Mario Kart style, you know.
Oh, you went Mario. I went like Mad Max kind of.
Yeah,
style.
Mad Max. Yeah, it is kind of Mario, but also Kart. like the MCU version of Mario Kart. Anyways, it'd be fun to get a game like that where you're on Sakaar and like doing chariot races or whatever. Yeah, like a pod race, basically, right? So it was a cool episode as well, and it kind of it does call back to, because we never really understood what Gamora and Tony Stark were doing when they got involved, like when Gamora got involved in the Guardians of the Multiverse. So it's nice to get that backstory. But there were two more that I found. I also like the Kahori one, but there are two more that I really thought were strong. And that's as the season progresses and we get, what if Hela found the Ten Rings? I thought that was such a cool way to include the Shang-Chi mythology in What If, and really give us a Hela that is like a sympathetic character as opposed to, you know, what we're used to from Thor Ragnarok and everything. And I thought that was a really good, like, love story almost between her and Wen Wu, right? So these two characters that were really supposed to, at the end of the day, they're villains, but they're, I don't know, painting them in this sympathetic light. I thought it was interesting. And then finally, I think you already mentioned it, Mina, what if the Avengers assembled in 1602? That one, honestly, like, the finale was fun too, and like had a lot of cool, you know, cameos and stuff. But the 1602 one really, like, was jaw dropping for me. It was just like, didn't know what to expect. Kind of hinted at it in the trailer for What If Season 2, but had no idea where they were going to go with it. And I just thought from start to finish, it was really well written. Wasn't really sure, like, I don't think it really matters, like, how everyone's together in 1602, but it's just like, this is the world. Everyone's here, and Captain Carter's involved. But the interesting thing about it is, it's not just another version of Captain Carter. It's the one, like you said, Mike, where it's like a through line through the season that she was already in season one. We got her origin story. Then by the end of it, she goes into the future and joins, you know, the Avengers of her time, presumably to stop Thanos and everything. And then she comes forward into this season and and goes through these adventures, and there's like two or three of them, like you said. So just was a great way to kind of pay off her journey and her arc, and then again to see her link up with Steve Rogers, like an actual Captain America version that was fighting Thanos, and instead of, you know, what we knew from Infinity War, where he holds him off for a little bit and then gets kind of thrown, punched out, he knocks with his shield, he knocks the time stone and gets knocked back through time. So I thought that was pretty crazy, actually. And just overall, and he was like the one that was screwing everything up for their timeline, right? So
yeah, I love that twist ending, and I actually did not see that coming at all. But then when it came, it fit so well. Like, it fit the dynamic between Peggy and Steve, but that they're like these sort of doomed lovers that can never quite be together for whatever reason, and there's always like a tragic reason but heroic sort of sacrifice that one of them has to make, which is the reason they can't be together, which I thought was really well written, and I didn't see it coming. And then at the end it's like, oh, it's so obvious, right? And that's just testament to the story. So any last thoughts, Wife Power?
I was gonna say, like, before we kind of talk about, again, like wrapping up on the series and the finale and everything, yeah, just cherry pick any moments from those episodes you brought up, if you wanted to say anything else.
Yeah, go ahead, Mina.
No, I think we captured.
Captured it all? Captured
yeah.
All your moments? Okay.
I mean, without, like, because it's like, I don't want to spoil too much. Like,
should have spoiler warning before we started, probably. So this is your spoiler warning now. Watch the show first before you listen to this episode.
It's too late. It's too late.
Yeah, I mean, we covered a lot of spoilers already, so yeah. I wouldn't worry about that.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it. Yeah.
Ian brought up the two really fun ones. They weren't on my top, but the racing one with Iron Man, and the Happy Hogan Christmas one. We didn't watch it at Christmas, but we, as soon as we started it, Mike kind of noted.
And I knew it was a diehard spoof like 30 seconds in.
Yeah, he ruined it because it's like at one point in the show they actually like say that they're like spoofing Die Hard, like they kind of like spill the beans, and Mike's like, why did they have to put that in there? And I was like, I'll never know if I would have like picked up on it like independently that they were doing like a Die Hard thing.
It was so obvious away.
Yeah, but it was obvious for you.
Okay,
so it's like, because he's like, you've seen that movie how many times? So it's like, he spoiled it right off the bat. Like, oh, this is a Die Hard episode. And then, because he just picked up on it so quickly. But it's like, I don't know if I would have picked up on it on my own, or if I needed that cue that they put in the episode to be like, we're spoofing. Well, like, this is like
you said, there were a couple lines of dialogue that kind of painted that picture too, right?
There was one time where they just kind of like kind of flat.
Yeah, out. They blatantly were like, "This is just
wink
like
to
Die Hard."
People that hadn't picked it up yet.
Yeah.
Do you think, like, if you see Happy Hogan crawling through the vents, like, you go, "Oh, that's totally Die Hard. Makes sense. Christmas and all this."
I don't know if I would have made that connection,
right,
but it's
right.
Like I had the connection when those like parts started happening because Mike spoiled it so early, like he caught on so early and then said it out loud, and then it's just like, well, thanks a lot. Like,
oh, okay, it's not like it ruined the episode. So, I think it made it better knowing that it was better.
Yeah, I thought it was cool that like there was the return of Justin Hammer in that episode, and also
him in that episode.
Oh, Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
Oh,
what did you think of like Happy Hogan getting powers and Hulk blood, and now he's
a new Hulk character
in the MCU?
It was pretty dumb.
Yeah, but I don't like how they made him, like, they didn't make him like Mark Ruffalo's Hulk, where he's like, they've made him like almost like Abomination style, where they made him like really like ugly and like veiny and stuff. It's like,
right,
it's so not like, like, I almost would rather like Happy Hogan kind of be like the Mark Ruffalo, like the teddy bear kind of Hulk, where he like looks a bit more
he
like a gentle.
Way too much like the Mr. Hyde from the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, like that bad movie.
Okay.
Looked way too much like that version to me. That's just what it reminded me of, and it was just bad vibes. So I wasn't a huge fan of that. I thought it would have been cooler if they left him without powers and he had to sort of solve, but I get it. I get it.
It's we also liked when it show. Was like he wasn't fully the Hulk. Like, I forget what Liv turns into the Hulk. He just had like the Hulk leg. Like, yeah. I think it actually might have been a bit more fun if like he just had the leg.
And then he just popped the up as time. That like Doctor or Dr. Jekyll version in like the 1602.
Yeah, that was kind of randomly, my point.
It's like, how is that? Like, what is the connection?
Where did it come
I think
from?
Like, I wasn't sure if it was like they were trying to see that all those characters were pulled in. I thought it was more like it was just its own reality that. I just thought it was cool that they didn't need to kind of explain that because they already set up the idea that there are universes out like there where that happened to him. Yeah, so it's like they already established that there's infinite, you know, multiverse and this has happened to him in some form in other
you
universes.
You can't think about it too much, right? Because it's like, how does the world exist in 1602? Because it's supposed to be gamma radiation. They wouldn't have that. But
what
it's the kind of show where it's like it's a short show and you just can't overthink it and you just watch it and see which episodes sort of resonate with entertain you and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
What I really appreciate about the what if Gahori reshaped the world one is like, you know, without spoiling Echo or anything, I just came off watching that show. It's like a mini series on Disney Plus with 5 episodes and it's just cool to see like other cultures in the MCU and in this case like Kahori is a new character, like you said, Mike, and her whole culture is getting infused with abilities from the Tesseract or the Space Stone in the same way that maybe you'll see, like, you know, the people of Wakanda or the Atlanteans, you know, Namor and their people. So, you know, you get a whole new kind of people spawning out of this what if, and she's involved in the finale and helping with Peggy Carter. Mm-hmm. And there was another angle to that where it reminded me of Multiverse of Madness because Strange was trying to take her out, even though she was a good person, right? So it's like what was happening at the beginning of that movie with, you know, Strange. I think Strange Supreme they called him too in that one, where he's trying to take out America Chavez because of her abilities, right?
Right.
So try and absorb her abilities. So he was doing that, trying to do that to Kahori, even though Kahori is a hero. So I just thought that was like a really cool thing, and now we have this Echo series, which is also another way to sort of showcase like a whole community of people, and you know, get some indigenous representation of the MCU. I thought it was really great. So yeah, that was a really nice touch for What If season 2. I was really happy with the season overall.
Yep, agreed. So I think I think we're all pretty positive on it. So check it out if you haven't seen it, and season 1 if you haven't seen it. Check out our review and keep your eyes peeled on the feed for more MCU talk and Disney Plus show talk, and also our top episode, our top movies and TV shows of 2023 that we just recorded. And we're also going to look forward to 2024 in the next episode with our most anticipated movies and TV shows. And then we're going to look back 25 years like we like to do on this show, to 1999 in some upcoming episodes, so stay tuned for that too. So thanks, Mina, thanks again for joining me on this What If season 2 review. And the podcast again is called Back in My Day. We are on social media at Day Back In, so follow us there to keep tabs on the show. And the Patreon is patreon.com/backinmyday. So thanks for listening, and see you later.
The color of the suit, right? I'm Santa Claus, baby.